From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his 11th message in this series in Hebrews chapter 11. The text is found in verses 23-29, the section that speaks of Moses. But in this particular message, Dr. Cairns focuses on the 23rd verse, which deals with the faith of Moses' parents. In the face of Pharaoh's command that all male Hebrew children were to be killed, Moses' parents first hid the new baby for 3 months, then they placed him in an ark of bulrushes, abandoning him to the mercy of God. In a message entitled Faith, the Protection of the Family, Dr. Cairns demonstrates how Moses' parents sought to exercise a godly influence on their son for as long as they could. We'll see that their faith in God caused them to disobey the king's command, which provides us with an important lesson regarding the relationship between Christians and the civil government. Furthermore, we'll note the providence of God in causing Pharaoh's daughter to find Moses. The Lord provides, protects, and prepares those whom He intends to use for His service. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. David passed that gloomy brook when flying with his mourning company from his traitor son. The man after God's own heart was not exempt from trouble. Nay, his life was full of it. He was both the Lord's anointed and the Lord's afflicted. Why then should we expect to escape? At sorrow's gates the noblest of our race have waited with ashes on their heads. Wherefore then should we complain as though some strange thing had happened unto us? The King of Kings himself was not favored with a more cheerful or royal road. He passed over the filthy ditch of Kidron, through which the filth of Jerusalem flowed. God had one son without sin, but not a single child without the rod. It is a great joy to believe that Jesus has been tempted in all points like as we are. What is our Kidron this morning? Is it a faithless friend, a sad bereavement, a slanderous reproach, a dark foreboding? The king has passed over all these. Is it bodily pain, poverty, persecution, or contempt? Over each of these kidrons, the king has gone before us. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted. The idea of strangeness in our trials must be banished at once and forever. For he who is the head of all saints knows by experience the grief which we think so peculiar. All the citizens of Zion must be free of the honorable company of mourners, of which the Prince Emmanuel is head and captain. Notwithstanding the abasement of David, he yet returned in triumph to his city, and David's Lord arose victorious from the grave. Let us then be of courage, for we also shall win the day. We shall yet with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation, though now for a season we have to pass by the noxious streams of sin and sorrow. Courage, soldiers of the cross! The king himself triumphed after going over Kidron, and so shall you.
Shout with joy to God on the earth, sing glory to his name. Shout with joy to God on the earth, His glorious praise proclaim. How awesome are Your deeds!
Sing glory to His name.
The earth bows down to You.
His glorious praise proclaim.
Shout with joy to God on the earth, sing glory to His
come, let us rejoice in Him.
Sing glory to His name. He rules us by His throne, His glorious praise proclaim.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
There can be no competition with Christ in the life of a believer. If anyone or anything ever comes to take the preeminent place of Christ in our lives, to command our consciences, to hold us captive, we must cut asunder. But there are many times when the Lord graciously lets our interests be intertwined with His interests. And I think you know that that's the usual thing. Trials are not the lot of the people of God in the sense that all they have are trials. Oh, we have our trials, all right. We know that. But commonly, the Lord so works our affairs that He intertwines our interests with His interests. And if our natural affections are held under the sway of the grace of God and the Word of God, so that we don't interpret the Scripture in the light of our desires, but we hold our desires under the sway of the Scriptures, we will find that generally the Lord will do for us what He did here for the parents of Moses. He will work out His purposes, and He will give us our heart's desire. You turn to the 37th Psalm, and you will find how sweetly the psalmist works this out. Here is, again, a general statement. Let me say, regarding, however, even the general promises of Scripture, they are always to be appropriated by faith. They're not simply to be taken, well, there we have it in pen and ink. Now, I'm going to take a nonchalant stand on it. Every promise in the book is not yours until God seals it to your heart, and by faith you receive it. Now, in Psalm 37, however, we have verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." You will notice the emphasis on God's people enjoying the fulfillment of their natural affections and their natural desires. This is what happened with the parents of Moses. The lesson, however, is clear. We should always hold ourselves entirely under the sway of God's Word and God's grace. And thus these people fearlessly defied the law of an ungodly monarch. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were breaking Egyptian law in hiding Moses. It's a sad day for Egypt. It's a sad day indeed for any nation when Moses' parents or people like them would have to disobey the law to save the lives of their own children. You think of parents, Christian parents, in a place like China today. Think of what suffering must be theirs. We hear so little about it. So little comes out of that closed country. But in China today, if you have more than one or two children, you're going to be forcibly made to have abortions to kill your children, or forcibly rendered incapable of having children. You'll see what a burden that will put on Christian parents, where the Pharaoh in China commands them that their children must be killed. And I have no doubt that many a time, a modern example of Moses' parents has had to come along, one way or another, fight to break the ungodly law to keep the lives of their children. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, magistrates, and by that we mean rulers, greater and lesser, are to be obeyed. They're the ministers of God. Generally, they are to be obeyed. The laws of Egypt were to be obeyed by Israelites. Generally, And they did. And you will notice in the book of Exodus that when those laws were cutting very sore against the children of Israel, and they were even being unjustly used against the children of Israel, they still obeyed those laws. They obeyed the laws of the land. Because lawlessness and anarchy are never to be a part of a Christian's testimony. The lawless one in Scripture is the title of the Antichrist. And no Christian can ever have a testimony of being a lawless anarchist. That's no part of his testimony. But, as in this case, when the law commands what God prohibits, that law is to be disobeyed. When the law prohibits what God commands, that law is to be disobeyed. And the ruler who sets it up is to be disobeyed in that thing. He may be held in respect in other areas. He may be obeyed in other areas. But where he commands what God has prohibited, where he prohibits what God has commanded, then he is to be disobeyed in good conscience unto the Lord. We find that in Acts 4, Peter says, whether it's right that we should obey you more than God, you judge. In other words, he says it's a self-evident truth, even to you rulers, that you can't take the place of God. In Acts 5:29, he said, we must obey God rather than man. In Daniel 3:16-18, when their own lives were going to be forfeit as a result, as it appeared to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked the king in the eye, and they said, we will not obey your law. We will not do it. That's the spirit of Moses' parents. They defied the law of the king because it commanded what God prohibited, the murder of their children. It prohibited what God commanded, and that was that parents would rightly, fully, wholeheartedly protect their children and rear them in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And because the king flew in the face of God's command, they disobeyed him. The magistrate is the servant of God, but it does not belong to the servant to overthrow the express will of his master. But he does so. He's a rebel. He's the lawbreaker, and not the people like Moses' parents. Now, of course, I'm only scratching the surface of a vast, vast field of study. The whole idea of the church's relationship to the state comes in here. The whole idea of the Christian's relationship to the state. The whole idea of a Christian's obligation to Caesar comes in here. All I would say is that these are the basic rules for church and Christian. I would say also that you will be very careful to keep out personal considerations. There are laws that I don't want to obey. I have to admit that. When I'm in a hurry to get to Toronto, and I have 1,000 miles, mostly of open road before me, especially if I'm going up, 77 and on through that way where you travel for miles without seeing much traffic, especially if I'm traveling at a time of the day, or night when there's even less traffic in the road, I personally feel that it is an awful imposition for anybody to keep me within 25 miles of the speed limit. But, unfortunately, I have to more or less stick to it. I'm not going to say I stick to it. I'm not going to be a liar and say that I wouldn't go over 55 miles an hour If I can get away with doing 60, I'll do 60. If I can get away with, if they would let me do 100, I would do it. You see, I grew up in Britain where they allow you to do that sort of thing. And it's hard to forget that I'm over there. But seriously, when they say that, you've got to do it. When they put a school zone sign up, I've got to do it. I may be in a hurry to get somewhere, but I've got to obey that. When Tim Farr comes to me every year and says it's time for me to make up your taxes, I don't like it. He's a good friend, but man, at that time he seems like less than a friend. When he comes over and says, you've got to have a check for this and a check for that, I don't like it. And I'd be a liar if I said I did like it. And if I could get out of it, I would get out of it. I think I'm paying the greatest bunch of lying, twisted criminals that you can think of when you get into the tax service. And I feel that I can argue, I can rationalize, they're going to make me pay up, but they force people to be liars and criminals. I've known that. I've seen it happen. But my personal comfort doesn't come into this. My personal interest can't come into this. No Jew liked to have to pay tribute to Caesar. Every false Messiah who came along told them, stop paying tribute to Caesar, because Caesar is a conqueror of this land. He is a usurper of this throne. Don't pay tribute to Caesar. That's what all the false messiahs said. Jesus Christ came along, and he said, render to Caesar what belongs to him. His imprint is on the money. Give it to him. It wasn't very popular. But you see, the Lord Jesus was emphasizing this. What is purely personal for our comfort is not a biblical ground for breaking the law. But God's law is. And when a church is commanded, you will not preach, then it's going to preach. It should preach. In Northern Ireland some time ago, we had a law enacted. They're trying to bring something even worse in at the moment. But they have a law enacted in the 1970s. It prohibited more than two people meeting publicly in the street. Two or three people. So that wiped out open air meetings. Street meetings, as you call them. Now, street preaching in Northern Ireland has been something that has been carefully cultivated over many, many decades. And all around the country, Christians have gone out preaching in the open air. The government came along and said, you won't do it, and a lot of Christians gave in. The Free Presbyterian Church said, we will not stop preaching in the open air. You can do whatever you want to do. And you can have whatever reasons you say you have. But when you start touching us and saying, you're not going out to preach the way you've always done, then you and us, we're going to have a conflict. And we wouldn't give in.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.